RuPaul, where do we begin? Everyone knows who RuPaul is, right? I don't have to explain who RuPaul is. He got famous for dressing like a woman, a very attractive woman, quite frankly.
Beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman, tall dude. I was surprised to find out that RuPaul, there is RuPaul.
Oh, hello there.
Hi, how you doing, Ru? I got to say, I miss you as a woman. I like you as a woman. Always thought you had a good look.
Yeah.
I did.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, hello.
How are you?
Is my microphone built in here?
Yeah. Okay. It's weird to see you as a man,
You think
actually.
So?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, when you're used to RuPaul being that bodacious woman,
You're absolutely right. Actually, when I see myself in drag, I think, whoa, who's that, you know?
When you dress as a woman, and now you, I assume you're in your 40s now?
I'm actually 10 days shy of 47.
Do you go through the same thing a woman goes through, like, oh, man, I'm getting older?
No.
My whole thing in life is being an attractive woman. And then, you know, when you get older, the men stop staring as much and all that. Is that a frightening prospect?
Is RuPaul maintaining?
That's a good question. You know, because a little bit of that comes in because we live in New York. We live in a culture where it's all about beauty and youth and
that's
stuff.
Right.
But then, you know, because it's drag, you know, there's this satire parody part of it that doesn't matter. I mean, I could be in a wheelchair at 80 and still come out and say, you better work, you know, and it'd still be funny. I think people would still pay to see it.
To me, it's funny. You know, RuPaul, there are very few men who dress up as women who actually look good as women. You had an attractive look. I think it was confusing to a lot of guys.
Yeah, because a lot of guys were turned on, and they were like, whoa.
They were like, whoa, wait a second. But I learned that you never really cared about dressing up in drag. You were in a rock band.
Right.
And there was a gimmick involved, dressing up as a woman. You got a lot of attention for it. But I thought you were a 24/7 kind of, you know,
transvestite
who wanted to be in women's clothing. You don't care. You don't dress as a woman full time.
No. You know, you're absolutely right. It was a gimmick. In fact, we were doing it back then as a statement to say, you know, listen, we're told not, it's really like a punk rock statement. We're told not to dress in drag, so we're going to dress in drag.
Did you get a sexual thrill out of dressing in drag?
No.
Did you like the attention from men?
Yes, the power part, which is, I guess, sexual too. The power you get—it's like Clark Kent to Superman. The power you get and the attention, and somehow when I'm in drag, the frequency is clear for people to pick up on me. I'd be ignored. Normally.
Right. If you were dressed as a man, no one would pay attention to you.
Right.
When you would get dressed up as a woman, suddenly even men started treating you like a lady.
Absolutely.
And treating you in a different way, like you're a superstar.
Well, maybe not like a lady, because, you know, you're saying dress like a woman. I mean, women, I dress in drag. Some women dress in drag.
Right.
Most women just dress in slacks and blazers and T-shirts.
You were ultra femme. Did straight men come on to you a lot?
Yeah, sure.
They did.
Yeah.
And did you have sex with them?
I would fool around a little bit. You
would.
You know?
Did famous men come on to you?
After I got famous, all of that stopped because I was in to do the job and out of there. You know, there's security, there's people with me the whole time. So it's never like, you know, I could sneak away or say, oh, my car is parked over here, let's go. It's never like that.
I remember seeing you on the MTV Awards. And you came out with Milton Berle, you know, you co-presented. And you got really pissed off at him. He made a crack to you. And I thought to myself at
the
time.
Crack?
Well, Milton Berle was the kind of, you know, Milton Berle wasn't really a super funny guy.
No.
He wasn't a stand-up comic. And I think he was trying to be funny at the time. But he did it. He kind of made a homophobic remark, I remember. He kind of said something shitty about you, didn't he?
Well, this is what happened. And listen, this thing has followed me ever since then. I don't think it's been 13, 14 years ago. If I were to do that thing all over again, I would not have. I got upset at him, and it took it out on live TV. And that was a big mistake.
I had a theory about it, and I understand where you were coming from. What was the affront? What did he say to you? Do you remember?
He was very rude backstage. First of all, they sprung it on me right before the awards that he was going to be presenting with me. I thought, oh, what? You know, and I realized then that MTV didn't get what I was about or what I was doing with drag. I mean, my drag is a completely different type of, his drag is the sort of gender fuck misogynist thing that's really kind of mean.
Yeah, Milton Berle used to dress up as a woman.
A woman all the
For
time,
those of you
yeah.
don't know, he's an old-time comic, and I guess MTV paired RuPaul and Milton Berle together because here's the old-school guy dressed up in drag. But RuPaul was actually, you know, He was a gay man doing the drag in a different way than Milton Berle was poking fun at.
And he was never attractive. And he was, you know, just forget
it. But it was funny when Milton Berle would do it. But he said something specific. Backstage, he was rude to you.
Yes.
He felt that you weren't his equal and that he didn't really want to present with you.
You know, I don't know exactly what it was, but I was not only offended by what MTV had done, but some of the things he was saying. And on top of it, he had all the punchlines. He had all the jokes, and they were at my expense. So I thought, you know what, you know, I this may be my only shot on TV. You know what, I'm gonna screw them up on the air. I'm just gonna say whatever I want to say.
And you told
I did
Milton
something
Berle,
really rude.
You
I
said something
really
about
rude.
His Depends that he wore Depends underwear or something.
He had some joke about, oh, you know, RuPaul, back in the day, I used to wear dresses, and I said something about, well, no, now you wear diapers or something like that.
Right.
It was, first of all, it was awful. It was offensive. I've learned through a lot of therapy. I should not have done it on the air. I should have taken him to the side back there and said, listen, mother, you know, don't talk to me that way and blah blah blah.
I think I knew where you were coming from, and maybe I'm playing psychiatrist here, but it seems to me, and I don't know your life story, but I can imagine being a young boy growing up, being effeminate, that you took a lot of crap. I can't imagine what your life was like. Where
How
did
you
grow up?
How do you know he was a young effeminate boy?
Come on. You were not a young effeminate boy? If you weren't, then I'm a nut. I mean, what? Where did you grow up?
I'm from San Diego.
I would imagine.
They're not so tough in San Diego.
But wait, I would imagine the crap you took growing up. I mean, you just didn't want to be goofed on anymore.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Although I sidestepped a lot of that stuff because I got a winning personality, a cute smile, and I could be funny. So I got to sideswipe a lot of what you're talking about. It wasn't as bad for me as it is for a lot of kids.
But you're a little bit younger than me, and I know that when I was growing up, to be a gay man, a gay boy in school, was it obvious from day one that
they
you were gay?
They told me. I didn't. I was probably 5 years old, and the kids said, oh, you know, you're a sissy. And I said, oh, really?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
But you knew you were attracted to men, I would assume.
Absolutely.
But you didn't know what that was called. You didn't know it was wrong. And then I would imagine.
No, I knew it was wrong, that's for sure.
They made sure you knew that.
Yeah.
Who told you were gay?
The kids in the neighborhood.
They all said you're gay.
Yeah, I grew up in a house with all girls, and I was always, you know, called a sissy and all that stuff. And, you know, it was very clear. I was never in the closet.
Were you ever beaten for it?
No.
Were you ever abused?
No.
Really? Not made fun of, though.
I was made fun of, you know, but I don't think it was to the degree that I would, you know, go into a shell or stop being who I am.
Now, how do you, growing up in San Diego, act out on this? Were you very young when you started messing around with dudes?
No, actually, it came very late. You know, black folks are really weird about sex, okay? And so, especially, I had no gay role models or anything like that. So I had to do this stuff my own.
You had to figure it out.
I'd figure it out on my own.
Black community is particularly rough on a gay black man.
Absolutely. Yes. I think it's the religion. It's all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I didn't. My first sexual encounter was I was 18 years old.
And then there came a time in your life where it was things were really bad, where you became a prostitute. But were you a prostitute as a woman or as a man? Did you dress as a woman to be a prostitute?
I told Will this story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to live in the meat market here in New York.
Right.
And I actually lived at 5 Ninth Avenue, which is now this big ritzy restaurant.
Right. Right.
Three-story house. Me and Lady Bunny and La Homa and Larry T were all downtown stars at this time.
Those are all famous drag queens.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, downtown people. Larry T's not a drag queen. But I was working at Mars, which was on the West Side Highway, and I walked home from there. And that area, traditionally, for years and years, has been a haven for tranny hookers. Now it's a hooker of a different
Whoa.
Type.
What?
I was going to say, Artie,
that's when you got your first blow job, right?
It was way north of there.
I still think Artie might have gotten blown by a man.
RuPaul did Artie.
I went to... Do you remember a very kind guy in a 72 Toyota
You know
Chevy?
Artie, right? Yeah.
Wait, unzip your fly.
You know his penis.
No, it's funny. I went to Mars a couple of times,
yeah.
And that was a fun place if you were on tabs of ecstasy.
You were walking home dressed as a woman. Someone pulled over in their car, I assume.
Yeah, because there are a lot of guys. It was just the haven for that kind of thing. And no, I wasn't a prostitute per se. I wouldn't be out there. But this one guy pulled over, really good looking. Really good-looking guy.
It wasn't me.
And
you're safe. Yes.
And asked me if I wanted to date, and I said, And so I got in the van with him, and I swear to you, within 2 minutes, the cops pulled the van over.
Oh.
And he said, get down on the floor. And he jumped out of the van and went around to talk to the cops. And I'm in the van, you know, stooped down like that. And
In full drag.
And the cops let him go. And he got in the car and dropped me off around the block. He gave me $25, but I didn't have to do it.
You didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything. And I would have blown him for free. You
right.
know? But I
you
thought,
liked him.
Yeah, but listen, back then, this is like 1989, we were doing everything for kicks, and not to mention, I was probably on I was probably drinking. I'm sure I was drinking.
Were you,
I'm sure
you a big drug person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of drugs. Coke? Heroin?
Yeah. No, I snorted heroin once.
A couple of times. Yeah. One time. And so you become, I'm not even sure how the whole big RuPaul thing blew
happened,
up. I mean,
yeah.
You became very famous from a hit song, right?
Yeah. You know what happened? I was downtown. This is when there was a club culture in New York City, big mega clubs. They pay people to come and go-go dance, drag queens and everything, come and dance and show up there. So I really hit the pinnacle downtown. Mm-hmm. And this is, they don't have that anymore, but this is back then. I become the Queen of Manhattan, which is this big honor that is
voted
on.
Oh, was there a contest?
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Does every gay man want to have sex with you, or are some gay men turned off to the whole drag
thing?
Listen,
you know, today gay people are obsessed with anything straight acting, and drag right now is at an all-time low in terms of popularity.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, you know, I have a whole theory on this, but it's right now everything's about straight acting. You want to get married, you want to have babies, and I'm from a culture of gay people. It's like, I don't like kids, I don't want to get married, I don't want to
you
emulate.
You don't want to do anything straight.
I don't want to emulate anything.
If you want to do straight stuff,
be straight. Yeah.
You're a gay man,
what
you want to have fun.
What the heck happened?
I don't know what
did
happened.
Did you go through a whole period of time where you would just have willy-nilly sex?
No. You know, I was, you know, because of my background, I was always like, oh, Mr. Grant. So, I was never...
Were you lucky to... You were like a Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah,
were you
Mary Tyler Moore.
Were you lucky enough to avoid the AIDS crisis because you were so sort of... Did a man ever have sex with you thinking you were a woman?
No.
It never happened.
Listen, whenever I've had sex, per se, when I happened to be in drag, it was a blowjob or something. It was never
You would
like,
blow the guy as if you were a woman when you were in drag.
No, but it was never as a woman. Look, you're 6'5", I'm 6'4".
Right. Yeah, there's no
How
woman.
How many women, right?
Nobody ever thought I was a woman.
When you dressed in drag, though, would you hide your balls and penis by tucking them and pushing them all back? Is that?
I should hope so.
Is that very painful?
It can be painful, depending on the degree of your tuck.
Are you a large man? Do you have a big penis and balls?
I think I'm average.
So to tuck the penis and balls is a very difficult thing. Who teaches you all of this? How do you learn this?
You know, there's only one place that the balls and your cock can go. There's only one place.
The ass.
You can't make a mistake at it.
Right. But who teaches you how to be a drag queen? How do you learn how to do something like this?
Well, in the drag world, there are, say, mothers and fathers and people who... I lived in Atlanta, Georgia for many, many years, and that's like Mecca for drag queens.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah, it is. It is. And so, you know, there were a lot of people that we emulated. But we were like a new wave of drag. I started out doing genderfuck, which is like, you know, combat boots and smeared lipstick, sort of like this, hey, you know, fuck you.
Not sure what I am, boy
or
a girl.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So, but then when I moved to New York, that wasn't really happening. I had to make money. And so the call then, if you want to make money, was for femmy, pretty, you know, shave your legs, put on some fake tits.
And you did it well.
And I did it, and I couldn't believe.
But you were all, you know, you never came off. You were a woman.
Well, you guys keep saying woman. In my mind, it's just glamorama. It's just drag.
You never were interested in becoming a woman.
No.
That's a whole different bag.
Listen, no, I'm not saying that. But when you were, there's a definite difference between you and RuPaul.
What is a drag? I don't know about that. As a drag queen, a top drag queen, which you were.
Still am. I'm the Queen of Queens.
Right. Okay.
Let's clear that up. Yeah,
absolutely. I would say you're the most famous drag queen in the world.
Yeah.
Can you become a millionaire from something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did. And mostly from live shows?
Live shows. You know it. Because records are an advertisement for your show. In fact, this weekend I will be in Corpus Christi, Houston and San Antonio. You can go to RuPaul.com to find out the exact club I'll be at.
And what do you do at the club? Do you sing live or do you sing to record?
I sing live to a track.
Track.
Yeah, all the background vocals are on the track.
Because most drag queens will just like
lip-sync
to Judy Garland or something like that. You do your own original tracks, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you make an appearance, you're in full drag and you come out as a woman. And who mostly goes to this?
Come out as a woman. You guys are stuck on this. Come out as a woman.
Dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
I'm in drag. I mean, listen, there are women who do drag and there are men who do drag.
There are women who have to dress up as women?
There are women who dress in drag. Pamela Anderson, LaToya Jackson, Zsa Gabor.
You mean that extreme?
Extreme.
Sort of glamour,
Jackie right. Stallone is in drag. There are
Dame
Edna.
How do you decide how big your breast should be?
Well, depending on what my weight is at the time. If my butt is really big at the time, I want to balance it out proportionately with the size of my breast. I'm up to a.
You're very thin.
I'm very thin. I'm up to a D cup right now.
Right. And when you say a D cup, you put on a bra and you put on a gel, some sort of gel?
Three words. Lady Foot Locker.
Lady Foot Locker.
Yeah, they're socks.
Is that what they are?
Yeah.
They're socks. But
wow.
Did you appear to have some sort of cleavage?
There are tricks, Howard. You know, there are tricks of the trade that, on Fox, they had this show, Magicians... Tricks finally revealed. I thought, how could they do that? How could they? But it's just tricks. There
but
are ways
you
can
do. But when
you
go to bed
things.
With a man, you're not interested in being in women's clothing, and you like to go to bed with another man. And I assume though that you are more femme, that you like to take it in the ass. I'm assuming.
Let's get right to it.
No, I'm in technical terms, I'm what you call versatile.
Are you?
You're a top or a bottom.
I'm up to whatever we can do.
I can't see you being a top. I mean, you're so feminine.
You think so?
Well, come on. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you have a feminine voice. You are very, very effective as dressed in drag.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine you like to play that out in the bedroom.
You're not exactly red from tuba.
Yeah. I mean, you know. as
true.
A top, when you're in the role sexually as a top, where you're putting, inserting your penis into a man... Do you
lower your voice?
Yeah, do you speak differently?
What are you doing? I'll fuck you there.
I mean, there's a role-playing thing that occurs.
Sure, I'm up for it.
I'll cut your belly open.
When you look in the mirror at yourself, do you feel you're better looking as dressed in a manly way or in a feminine way? Where do you think you shine the most?
I probably shine the most in drag.
In drag.
Yeah, probably.
It's kind of a drag going back to being a man, right? I mean, in a man's outfit.
Well, not really. I mean, it's obvious it's more comfortable. At least when I do drag, there's so much attention on me and you have to sort of be a conduit to so much energy that I'm happy to take it off so I can go back because I'm actually a very chill person.
You can actually move around in life very comfortably because
that's
actually a good thing.
And it's by design. I mean, we live in a patriarchal culture mm-hmm. that is designed for men to be men. And listen, doing drag in a patriarchal culture is akin to treason. Mm-hmm. So it's the most punk rock thing you could do.
Here you are, a guy. You were living underground, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now you become famous.
Right.
Supermodel of the world, that song.
I mean, you even had endorsement deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes big. Are you suddenly now invited to A-list parties? You're accepted by the Hollywood elite. Are you now hobnobbing
Do
with
you
all
become of... an insider?
to a certain degree. And as far as the gimmick, people want to have you around because they go, oh, look, I had a meeting today with RuPaul or guess who came to the party, as far as that's concerned. But not, there's still so much taboo attached to drag.
Fully accepted.
No. And listen, this is with everybody. Even gay people are still, we grow up in the same, we're all the same. So we grow up with this hatred of really all things feminine, except when it comes in the form of a femininity that we can deal with, like a Pamela Anderson or Jessica Simpson, where it's not threatening. But a femininity like Hillary Clinton is like, oh, no, that's a little bit too much for me.
There's no feminine.
Where's the feminine? opportunity there.
When we get into your life here, though, there had to be a wild period. You say you did drugs. Was there a time where you were doing 2-3 guys at the same time? Did you taste
the fruits of your fame?
Yeah. Did you ever enjoy 2 men at the same time?
No, I never did that.
Really?
I'm shocked.
You know what I always wonder? I wonder about your intimacy. Do you have, like, long-term relationships or...
You were thing for Mad TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I might have met you as the... And it's so weird. It's so different. Like, I don't feel like I've met this person.
Right,
I met the other
person. That's what I'm saying.
They're two unique people, in a sense. Yeah.
And we might have...
The characters are complete.
We might have a mutual friend. Do you know Michelle from Mad TV?
Oh, yes,
hair.
I know Michelle.
You know her well, right?
Yeah, I know her from the Village here in New York. She was a girl down at the Boy Bar.
Right.
When I was doing clubs downtown here.
This girl, Howard, this was a hair person that I worked with at Mad TV for 2 years.
Hot?
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought she was a chick for... 5 months.
Oh, you're kidding. And so how far did you go?
Well, I didn't think...
Oh, you mean...
She was a tranny.
She's a drag queen.
She's a guy who's... I don't know if she had the operation.
She has had the operation.
She has?
Yeah. She's a trans...
Her boss, Matthew, was...
And she was hot.
Yes. And, I mean, look, thank God I don't... I'm too shy around women. Because she would do my hair. And let me say, when a person's doing your hair, you talk. And
Rue, does a man who dresses like a woman have an obligation to tell someone like Artie, look, I used to be a man.
Look, fat ass.
Well, right. Listen, this is the thing. Is that, you know, we all have intuition. And everybody knows the T. Everybody really knows the T on subconscious level, subconscious level, I don't know. So the person really does already know. Now, does the other person have the obligation? It depends on how far it goes. If you're doing the person's hair, probably not.
Right.
But if you are going to take that person home and, you know.
There's never a chance.
You might want to tell.
Is it possible?
That's interesting because I've always thought that, you know, because we have that discussion sometimes. If you don't know it's a man and you have sex or you let them give you oral or whatever, is that gay?
Well, at that time.
And RuPaul is saying, you know.
Oh, okay.
I don't always agree with that. You know.
But I'll say this.
Tula once almost gave me a hand job, I gotta say.
Tell me if I can say this.
Artie, did you ever get aroused while you were having your hair done, or did you beat off to this person?
Never beat off, never got really aroused. No, but I will admit to speaking to Michelle as if he were a woman.
Well, Michelle is a woman.
Well, she hadn't had the operation yet.
But listen,
you say she's a woman.
We're
right
all
now?
Co-creators with Buddy or God or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And so whatever you believe between your two ears is the truth. And we project that. That's just the way it is.
I was going to say, somebody's taking a sacrament.
Eric, go ahead. Go ahead and ask your question, please.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
How you doing, RuPaul?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, now.
Eric.
Eric, yeah.
I wanted to give you an F, Marry, Kill, but I had a couple of questions first.
Okay.
Have you ever either left mud on someone's helmet or maybe got mud on your own
helmet? All right, that's a legitimate question.
Right.
Why?
Rue, as a gay man, anal sex is part of your repertoire.
Right.
If you're with a man, and let's say he leaves mud on your helmet, is that the ultimate turnoff, and how can a guy prevent that?
Or do you feel that you really hit gold?
Yeah. Yeah, do you think you're turning him on? Have you gotten mud on your helmet?
Sure. Eureka!
Is that like stacking oil? Hey, I'm like the Clampets.
Black gold!
Any mud with corn or...
Well, let's not get gross about it.
Corn.
Honestly.
Don't get gross, Howard.
Have you ever hit pay dirt?
You know, it is an occupational hazard from time to time. But, you know, for the most part, you know, there is a latex rubber involved. So, you know, it's not too bad. You would want to be prepared. And if you do go south of the border, you prepare yourself.
The first time that happened to you.
Yeah.
Were you turned off, in a sense, to the man?
Initially. But you know what? Look, it's taken me years to get over my shit shame. You know, I do colonics.
You're big on colonics. So is our Robin.
Yeah.
And you like inserting tubes in your ass? And
it's absolutely... The closest you can get to God is having something up your ass.
And you like when they tell you what's coming out? And
you know, I never look. I never look. Do you?
Robin
ever,
looks.
No,
I don't
no,
look.
All do
Robin
not,
looks.
I do not.
You saw carrots.
Oh, please. They told me about carrots, but that was years ago.
Robin. Robin had carrots.
They still had those green spring, those soggy things on them.
Will you eat a man's ass?
Sure, absolutely.
You will?
Oh yeah.
Can I give him an F, marry, kill, Howard?
All right, F, marry, kill. One of these people you have to marry. One of them you have to kill, and one of them you have to F.
Or blow. I'll give four people. F, marry, kill, or blow.
No, F, marry, kill. Come on. Don't change
it. It's not a B, marry, kill.
Go ahead.
F, marry, kill. Artie, Fred, or Benji?
All right, take a look at us.
All right,
Benji, stand up. All right, Benji is the guy in the middle. Fred is the guy to your right.
Hi,
and Artie is the guy to the left. You have to F one of them, you have to marry one of them, and you have to kill one of them. Who do you go to?
Looks alone.
You don't really know them. Yeah.
Okay, and we're not going to take this personally.
No, no one takes it personally. We've all been dumped.
No one takes shit personally except the two writers.
Okay, so it's F, marry, and kill.
Right.
Don't take it personally.
Fred is to your
I'm loving his eyes. Fucking loving his
eyes. You're talking about Benji.
Yeah,
really?
I want to marry him.
You want to marry Benji?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
This
is right out of left field. I had no idea you'd want to marry.
I can feel this connection. Do you feel what I'm feeling right now?
Wait a second, Benji. You feel the connection?
Wow.
Be honest.
Come on, Benji.
Okay, this is my honest thing. I'm a straight guy, but I feel lovability about you.
Yeah.
You seem like a really lovable, nice guy.
Then
you see, you have a real sweetness to you.
Why don't you go? Do me a favor. Go back in another room and dress up as a woman. Maybe
all right.
Be more of a
right.
Also, clearly you haven't seen Benji's paycheck.
Right.
I tell you what. I want to marry you, I want to fuck you, and I want to kill your ass.
You want all the same thing.
Yeah. That's it.
You don't want to say who you want.
The guy he really wants to look at is that guy right over there.
What about Gary? Do you like him?
So we had an odd moment. Maybe it's just me. But I thought that Rue sort of flirted with me in the green room. Am I crazy?
Yeah.
I said to Rue.
Yes, you're crazy.
No, I said to RuPaul, can I get you anything to drink? Would you like coffee or water? And he said, are you always that tan?
Back off, Gary.
You know what? I just thought that was an odd response to would you like water or
gay
coffee?
Gay men love you. Every gay guest comes on to Gary. What is it about Gary that is
attractive? He's got, it's the coloring. The coloring, he's got the brown skin.
Met fan.
Beautiful eyes.
Shut up, fuck you.
It's what a fat guy. What do you want me to tell you? No gay guys come on to me.
No, and there is a sweetness. There's an accessibility about you.
Thank you.
That's really
I think RuPaul was just very nice to me because I got a feeling I was in the coffin.
Rue was already in the coffin. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, you don't want to say that.
You know, the other thing I want to say, and I don't know, I won't say the name out unless you think I can get away with this.
Probably not.
The girl I talk about at Mad TV, there was a famous guy who guested on the show.
Okay.
Who hit on, we worked, there was a long 12-hour day. He did a sketch with us. He hit on Michelle all fucking day.
He didn't know that Michelle was a man.
No, and it's an attractive guy, and I think Michelle was attracted to him. And
you don't know where it went?
We never got to the bottom of it. Michelle claimed nothing happened, but like by the end of the day, I don't know. I think phone numbers were exchanged.
You'd be surprised.
Macho
you,
guy.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Macho.
I mean, come on, RuPaul, the character in drag, very attractive, and I would think that some men did come on to you who were confused.
Well, people flirt. Women flirt. I mean, you know, the thing I did with Gary, you know, when people are talking or communicating, you know, you want to get to another level.
You've made love to famous men, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Have you ever flown a famous guy?
What?
No, I haven't. I really haven't, you know. Except, you know, in my movie, Star Booty, there are some famous...
Yeah, now what is this movie? You're in a movie.
Star
You're here
Booty.
To promote. All right,
yeah.
Star Booty.
Star Booty is an exploitation comedy that I wrote and produced and star in. I didn't direct it. Mike Ruiz directed. And it's out on DVD. It's in Best Buys and...
it's on DVD.
It's on DVD at Virgin Megastore and on Amazon.com.
And
there.
Star Booty is you in drag?
It's me in drag. I play this government operative who has to go undercover as a prostitute to rescue her kidnapped niece.
I see. So it's a funny movie.
It's a funny movie. And Candace Cain is in it. And Candace Cain is the transsexual on Dirty Sexy Money. And she is phenomenal in this movie.
She's been on the show, right, Howard?
Would you ever work nude? Would you ever do a nude scene?
It depends. It would depend on how it was shot or whatever.
You're not ashamed?
No. No, but I mean, how could I do nude? I don't have...
Well, you're taking off your dress in front of men, and then you go, look. I don't know. It could be fun. All right, so getting back to mud on the helmet.
Yeah.
You're saying it has happened.
Sure.
It's part of the...
And what about you? Have you ever...
What?
Have you ever left mud on some guy's helmet?
Right, yeah.
I'm so self-conscious about that stuff. If it's going to happen, you know, I'm going to get myself ready.
Is it always planned?
How do you get yourself? Yeah, how do you get yourself ready for your
well,
anal?
Well, listen, if you know, if you know it's going to happen, if it's unplanned, you have to excuse yourself and go and see if you're ready.
But
if,
what do you mean by ready? And you don't want one in the chamber, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I gotta say, I've done that. That's happened to me. I've done that before. After losing a bet, I physically took a shit on a jet helmet.
So you're saying if you're making love to a man and he says, Rue, I need your behind, you'll say, excuse me for 1 minute, I have to go prepare.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to say, you know, let me see if we can do this, you know. Uh-huh.
And you go and you evacuate.
Evacuate,
and then you clean up back there, and then you present yourself in the
baby
bedroom.
Wipes. Your best defense is paper hasn't touched my bum in over 10 years.
Smart, you won't get hemorrhoids.
That's right.
Absolutely. I tell my audience the same thing.
Baby wipes.
Yeah.
Well,
that's funny. No paper, but cock, yes. That's unbelievable.
Sure.
Paper, no.
RuPaul, it's fascinating to meet you. A pleasure to meet you. And RuPaul's film, Star Booty, is available on DVD now. And if you need more information about the film and you're having trouble finding it, you can go to Star Booty, B-O-O-T-Y.com. And also, as I said earlier, RuPaul made his money primarily from going to clubs, and he will be appearing in an area near you soon. And
let me ask you something about that, because you said you're in Corpus Christi and a couple of other places in Texas. The middle of the country, okay, for...
You know what? That's where I make the most money.
Is that
it
right?
It really is, because, you know, big cities
people pay,
can't
to leave.
Pay the fee.
They pay you to leave.
Get out of town, RuPaul. Here's $1,000.
I was, you know, last weekend, I swear.
Me and the fellas took up a collection of my hat.
Are you hearing?
And if you're a freaky asshole, hock it out of here. We'll give you $500.
Do you have men's underwear on now, or do you wear panties?
No, I'm wearing all men's attire right now.
You are. Yes. And when you dress up as a woman, do you wear thong?
I sure do. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Even the underwear.
Well, they're tucking panties.
They're tucking panties. They can't be women's.
And
thong.
You know what they are? It's a thong. It's a thong that will fit me. That will keep everything south of the border, so to speak. It keeps.
How long does it take you to get dressed as a woman?
Well, you know, it varies. Depends on to what degree. If I'm going to have my picture taken, where everything's going to be showing under a microscope, it could take me. Four hours. But listen.
So you're like a real woman.
Yeah. It
takes Robin 4 hours.
It would take anybody 4 hours to have all that stuff done.
Yeah, you have to shave. You have to do the whole thing. You
sure.
It's a big gun. In fact, I'm looking at you now. You actually have
prosthetics?
You actually have a heavy beard.
Yeah.
I mean, you. What do? You have to put tons of makeup over that, right?
Yeah.
It's not an easy job.
It's not an easy job. I enjoy it. You know, listen, I was built to do this job. And so I don't poo-poo it. You know, there have been times when I thought, you know, I can't do it anymore. But then I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it until they run me out of town.
Why not? It's a good business, and people seem to enjoy it.
And you know what? There's nobody. I'm total counterculture. You would think there'd be more kids coming up to take my throne. I wish there were.
There's nobody out there.
There's nobody coming up. And I challenge anybody.
Why
come
no
on
more
up.
Hit songs? What happened with the music?
Listen, you know, you have in the music business, you have about 7 years to make it happen until your demographic grows up and they don't buy records anymore. My first record was Could It Be I'm Falling in Love by the Spinners.
How many records did you sell?
I don't know. I think the first single did maybe 260,000. You know, it wasn't.
You never put out an album?
I put out albums. I put out to Star Booty just online, you know.
Right.
They sell okay, but listen, you know, I don't get radio play. When was the last time you were in the Virgin Megastore?
Supermodel,
you know?
That's a supermodel. That never got radio play?
Not really. No, it's still alive today, and I get royalties from it because they use it for fashion shows or on TV for bumpers and stuff, but it never even cracked the top 40.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a much bigger hit.
Subsequently, it's lived, and I make money off of it, but it wasn't a
well, you're a good guy, and I wish you a lot of luck.
My pleasure
and,
being
a lot
here.
Of fun, and you were for a short stint you were on radio for a while, right?
I did morning drive for
about
a year.
WKTU,
you know what, it wasn't the hours that killed me, it was the suits upstairs. I couldn't deal with all the people saying, you know, you guys should do this. I love the medium, and I did it again a few years ago.
Do you have a lot of black friends, or is it tougher for you in the black community?
You know, all my friends, my friends are friends because they're either bohemian or they think a certain way. It's not black or white. It's more because they think outside the box.
Are you angry with black people for not being more accepting of gay people?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yes.
And what do you say when you listen to these rap albums and records that, you know, are very homophobic?
I feel sorry for it. She's more to be pitied than scorned. I love that. That's a Ricky Skaggs line from when I love country music. She's more to be pitied than scorned. I feel sorry for him because what they're projecting outwardly is their own self-loathing.
I've heard a lot of rappers are secretly closeted gay people.
Well, a lot of black men are raised by black women, and there's a lot of femininity there, so they have to overcompensate for it by doing this sort of pimp walk and say, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just keeping it real, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, this, and that's almost a drag into itself. It's like this sort of uber masculine drag, and you're like, what are you doing? Can we just
too
please
over
talk?
The top.
What am I doing? Yeah. I'm robbing niggas like Shaquille. Shit is real. When it's time to eat a meal, I rob and steal.
You know, you're Biggie
Smalls.
You know,
you're turning real long. Because
my puke ain't give him his shit. Before the bread and butter, I'll leave niggas in the gutter.
Wow. Good singing. Well, listen, RuPaul. As a matter of fact, some of our own staff have dressed in drag on the cover of my second book.
That's true.
I was in drag.
Yeah. We're all in drag.
And Benji, the man you fell in love with, Benji, there he is as a woman.
Look,
can you see that? Can you see him?
Oh, there? Yeah.
Oh, he's Benji.
Any second thoughts now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You still want to marry him?
No, he's very cute.
Yeah,
very
he's
cute.
A little, he's pregnant there.
He looks like Peggy Lee.
That's Benji.
Yeah.
Not Benji.
Did you wear lashes when you did your drag?
Did you do lashes?
I have natural lashes.
Those were your own lashes. You were rocking your own lashes.
I put some mascara on them. But
listen, for everybody out there listening, if you even have gorgeous lashes, you still need to wear false eyelashes.
Well, I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah.
RuPaul's film Star Booty, available on DVD now. And, you know, I used to hang out a lot at Patricia Fields. And
oh, yeah.
You did?
Just get my hair done by all the drag queens.
I heard from Dana the other day.
Dana. She's gorgeous.
But Dana's, last time I heard from Dana, he was looking for some money for some tits.
Really?
Yeah. I think Dana got her tits.
No, yeah, she did the whole thing.
Dana got the tits.
For more information, go to starbooty.com. RuPaul, great to meet you
and
hang out here. And we'll be back with lots more show. We have a lot. We have to talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yes.
He gave an interview to Hannity and Combs. He says he's not a racist.
Says he apologized. I want to hear the apology. I've been reading what he said. Doesn't make much sense to me. So maybe if I hear him say it,
cries. I got to tell you something was shocking to me, and I'm going to play
Dog
the tape for you. Dog cries. And, you know...
Boy, that must be a lot of money he's losing.
Artie and I were talking about this earlier. I remember the day when racists... would never cry.
Racism.
Yeah, I mean,
we're tough motherfuckers.
Used to be tough motherfuckers. You know, these guys in the Klan. One thing you say.
If you moved into their neighborhood,
right?
But not because they called you a nigger.
Like, what has happened? Sensitive racists.
I miss this
I'm
guy.
Sick
they're
of
all,
it.
They're all pussies.
I don't want to see sensitive racists anywhere. All right, we'll be back right after these words.